Om Jnanatimirand Hasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. There are certain rules and regulations in human society to be followed for progressive spiritual advancement. Nowadays, people talk about freedom. We should be free to do what we like, think what we like, say what we like. This is considered a very important factor in modern society. Liberté, égalité, fraternité. French Revolution. The idea was liberty, fraternity, and equality. Everyone equal, all the same. Of course, they demonstrated their equality by cutting off quite a few people's heads. That was how they brought in the French Revolution. But this idea has been there in the Western world and gradually spreading all over the world since that time, that why should anyone be superior to anyone else? We should all be equal. We should all have equal rights. Prabhupada gives an example here of the idea of giving women equal rights, although the idea is that everyone should have equal rights. In Sweden, especially, they brought this idea to the extreme. I haven't been there for a long time, but it was about almost 20 years, but I remember that they had this idea of even the children, they should be equal in all respects. I would say, we were selling these records for raising funds for our preaching in Bangladesh, and I would approach women on the street and ask, please buy this record, and they would consult their child, 4 years old or 5 years old. Do you think we should buy it? Well, what do you think? As if the child was equal. You see, now India is called the greatest democracy in the world. It's the biggest chaos in the world. They have the idea of democracy. So many people, they have to, their voting slip with the thumbprint because they can't even sign their name. And they have a vote, and they're supposed to vote on what are the different economic issues and social issues, and what do they know about anything? They don't even know how to read and write. So why should they have the same vote as a PhD? This is the artificial idea that everything and everyone should be equal in all respects. Of course, if we talk like this, people become very upset. They think it's almost like a sacred, although they don't believe in anything sacred. Because everyone is equal, and if there's God, then he's only the same as us anyway, because we're all equal. How can any God claim to be superior? We're all equal. So they take it as a sacred principle that everyone should be equal in all respects. But Prabhupada used to point out, we're not equal in all respects. It's just a dream. Just like if you say women should be equal in all respects to men, then the men are deprived. They should also have babies. Why are the women only having babies and not the men? Then why don't the men also become pregnant? If we are going to be equal in all respects, then the men should also give birth. But they don't, because by the laws of nature, men and women have different functions in human society. Their bodies are designed differently, a different mentality. Of course, nowadays women are trained up in the Western countries to be equal in all respects. And they have this idea that we should be equal in all respects. But as Prabhupada succinctly points out here, this has not improved the social condition of the world. They had the idea that some people are better than others, some people are lording it over others. Therefore, we should just make everyone equal. But this has not improved the social condition of the world. Now we may say, well, the nobility, they were exploiting the poor people, let them eat cake. Who's that? Marie Antoinette. She said that the complaint came, the peasants don't have bread to eat, let them eat cake. Foolish, sarcastic remark. So for that she got her head cut off. She became equal with all the other people who got their heads cut off. But this didn't improve the social condition of the world. For all these theories that everyone is equal, the fact is that everyone is not equal, because according to our destiny, that means according to our previous activities, we get different kinds of bodies. Purusha Sukha Dukha, what is that? Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. That we take birth in different kinds of bodies according to our activities. So someone is born with more intelligence. Someone is born in a rich family. Someone is born good-looking body. Someone, their life goes on relatively trouble-free, and others simply have troubles and suffering, and mental troubles or physical troubles or legal troubles or so many troubles throughout their lives. It's not that everyone's just the same. There are differences. So the Vedic system, that means the system given by God and codified in Manu Sanghita and other books, they recognize these differences and organize society in such a way that everybody gets a chance to progress in spiritual life, which is the purpose of human life. The purpose of human life is to make spiritual advancement. They have the idea of that everyone should be equal in all respects. Equal opportunity. What is that equality? Equal opportunity to enjoy sense gratification. That's what it comes down to. They have no higher goal of life. Simply eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy. So the Vedic system is based on factual knowledge of our existential position. That we are born in different kinds of bodies according to our previous activities, and we get different kinds of opportunities. Just like someone who's born in a Brahmin family, traditionally, those who are born in Brahmin family, nowadays it makes very little difference. But traditionally, those who are born in Brahmin families, the Brahmins, what were their activities? Activities of Brahmin are patan, patan, yajan, yajan, dan, patigraha. It means performing sacrifices and ceremonies of puja, and performing these for others also. Accepting charity and then giving excess. The Brahmin is not supposed to become rich, but if he gets more than he needs, he gives that away. And studying the scriptures and teaching the scriptures. So if someone is born in a Brahmin family, he would get the opportunity to engage in these activities which are more suitable for spiritual advancement. And less so in the Kshatriya family, less so in the Vaishya family, less so in the Shudra family. But even those who are born in a lower family, they're also given an opportunity to make spiritual advancement. The Vedic society was arranged like that, that everybody would get the chance, just like it was the traditional system, that everyone would get the chance to hear Ramayana, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavat. Everyone would get the chance to chant the holy names of God. The Vedic society was unorganized. It was organization. It wasn't simply do whatever you like, whatever you feel like. If it feels good, do it. That's about the limit of anybody's philosophy today. Philosophy is practically a dead subject. In the universities, who's going for philosophy? They'll go for engineering, they'll go for law, commerce, but philosophy? Because you can't get a job. And the goal of life is to get a job, get money, and then enjoy. This is the idea of modern society. Everything is based simply on bodily improvement. So in the Vedic society, bodily improvement is also taken care of. There's dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Dharma means regulated religious activities. Artha means activities for economic development. Kama means sense enjoyment. And moksha means the ultimate goal of life is to become free from all this. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Free from birth and death. So these are the activities, the four divisions within Vedic society. They're all taken care of. When it said karma, sense gratification, that doesn't mean gross sense gratification like we see in the modern society. That also regulated according to rules and according to the Vedic injunctions. Just like sense gratification sex life. No, that's also regulated within married life. That is considered respectable. That is under some control. Otherwise, just like in the modern society, just mixing of men and women with no marriage, or even if they are married, they still mix. So this simply creates chaos in society. And the actual goal of life, which is to understand God, becomes lost. Whereas if one is married respectably, he has fixed husband, wife, takes responsibility, the father takes responsibility for the children, and that is a stable position, that sense gratification is not denied. Actually, sense gratification is not required for spiritual advancement, but it's understood that not everyone cannot be a sannyasi immediately. So some allowance is given under rules and regulations that, all right, within family life, there's husband, wife, social life, family life, all these things. But that's within rules and regulations, with the aim not simply to enjoy sense gratification, but to take responsibility and to become elevated. That is called the grihastha ashram. The griha is supposed to be an ashram. Ashram means a place of where spiritual advancement is the most important thing. Previously, in every home, at least in every Hindu home, there was a puja room or a separate, richer people would have a separate temple. Nowadays, just like in the Western families, in the room, the main object around which everything is centered is the TV, isn't it? The TV is in the center, everything centers around that. And they watch all demonic, TV means how to go to hell by watching this. All demoniac things. Kam, krodha, lobha. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, these things are the three gates to hell. These three things, kam, krodha, and lobha. Trivitam narakasya idam dwaram nashanam atmanaha. Kama, krodha, tata, lobha. Tasmat etat trayang tyajet. Lord Krishna says that there are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. Therefore, an intelligent person should give them up. So all these rules and regulations in the Vedic system are to help us overcome lust, anger, and greed, which drag us to hell. But then what do you see on TV? Lust means sex. Anger, violence. And greed, advertisements. Buy this, buy that. So only they're promoting lust, anger, and greed, and we think entertainment. Let the kids watch TV, because then they won't bother me. And what are they watching? They're learning how to become first-class demons, how to go to hell. So these things should be understood, because we are living in the demoniac society. We may think, oh, everything is very nice in Malaga, people come here and they smile, and they're very nice. Why are they nice? Because they're enjoying sense gratification. If their sense gratification is disturbed a little bit, you'll see, they're not actually very nice at all. They're only nice because they think, oh, how nice, I can lie on the beach peacefully. And what is that niceness? And I lie on the beach and smile and eat hot dogs, eating your mother. You put your mother in the slaughterhouse, the cow. So this is demoniac society, but they don't know. Pravritincha nivritincha janana vidur asuraha. Those who are demoniac, they don't even know what is proper and what is improper. They have no idea. If we just like so many people now are interested in vegetarianism, but if we tell that, oh yes, it's good for health, and oh, very interesting, because they want their health, so they can enjoy sense gratification. But if we tell that it's sinful to eat your mother, you know, then they become upset. They don't believe in, by their so-called modern philosophy, they have nullified in their minds the existence of sin. There's no such thing as sin. That's what they say. There's no such thing as sin. Whatever you want to do, it's all right. This idea of sin, what's that? But actually there is. Sin. There is a sinful. You can say, I don't believe in sin, there's any sin. But there is, and you get the reaction. By eating meat, by drinking wine, by gambling, by engaging in illicit sex, then you bring upon yourself sinful reactions. It means in your next life, in your next many, many lives, you have to suffer. Even if someone lives a so-called pious life, but he doesn't inquire into the absolute truth, who is God, what is our relationship with him, that is also sinful, because you're wasting the human form of life. That's a more pious kind of sense gratification. That people live very nicely at home, and they're vegetarian, and they're good, and they go to the temple, and they're nice to others. But if there's no inquiry as to what is the ultimate goal of life, who is Krishna, what is our relationship with him, then that's just what you could call a moral kind of sense gratification. So they're also missing the goal of life. Parabhavastava dabodha jata. Yavanna jigyasata atma tattvam. As long as one does not inquire into atma tattva, what is the meaning of life, then his whole existence is simply defeated, spoiled. Life is spoiled unless we seriously take up inquiry into the absolute truth. Not only inquiry, but regulated activities for spiritual improvement. But the modern society, they have no idea of all these things. If they work hard in the office in Manchester for 49 weeks a year, and then they have 2 weeks holiday, and they come and lie on the beach in Malaga. Ah, yes, very good. This is very good. What more do you want? And they have Delsey suitcase, all this, and Nike sport shoes, and Ray-Ban sunglasses, and a Rolex, maybe. Anyway, it shouldn't be a Timex. Some prestigious watch, then yes. Yeah, my life is very good, very happy. My third wife is very nice. The other two weren't so bad, didn't like them so much. But present wife is okay, at least for the time being. When I get fed up of her, I'll throw her out too and get another one. There's plenty of women in the world. In fact, that woman next door is pretty good. Maybe I'll marry her next. Just have to get a divorce from her present husband. So this demoniac society, simply based on sense gratification, that people are so much blind, they don't consider that actually there's so much suffering, they have to die. They don't consider what is the goal of life, simply living blind, like animals. What is the difference between an animal and a human being? Well, so you may say an animal has four legs. And an animal doesn't have computers and space rockets and motor cars and holidays in Malaga. We do, therefore we're more advanced. But that doesn't mean advancement. As Prabhupada used to say, the dog is running on four legs and we are running on four wheels driving our car. What is the difference? We're simply running from one place to another looking for sense gratification. There's no higher goal of life. Human life is meant for atato brahma jigyasa, inquiry into the absolute truth. We may live a very sophisticated life with hot and cold water, if you're lucky, and electricity and all these things. But what is that? It's simply for bodily maintenance. And your TV, what is that? Simply for titillation of the senses. What is the value? How does it make you better than a dog? A dog is, in a very simple way, simply looking for what? Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha. Samanam etat pashubhya naranam. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. These things humans and animals have in common. Dharmohite isham adhiko vishesham dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. The special facility of human life is to inquire into the absolute truth, to follow religious principles for spiritual improvement. So if a so-called human being doesn't do that, then he's not actually a human. It's just like, it's a very simple thing. A plus B equals C, right? So animal propensities, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, plus inquiry into the absolute truth makes a human being. So C minus B equals A. So human being minus inquiry into the absolute truth means animal. It's a very simple thing. Dvipada Pashu. Shastra says, he has two legs. and a suit and a tie and a PhD and a high-class accent. But he's simply an animal, or sometimes Narapashu, a human being apparently, but only an animal. So this modern society, they pride themselves on being very advanced, but actually they're not advanced. They're simply advanced in combining different pieces of matter. Technology, what does it mean? It means you put some plastic together and some metal together and you make different machines and you call it a car or a pen or a watch. So they may be very expert in that, but actually what is the goal of life and how to attain it? The need to attain it, they have no such idea. It's a very unfortunate society that they have such a vast arrangement for schools, education, welfare system, flights every 2 minutes, some flight coming into Malaga and going out again. Very complex society, very big arrangement. But they have no arrangement, even slightly, to understand what is the purpose of life. Why do we have to suffer repeated birth and death? They have no such arrangement. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is not just some Hindu movement, some kind of place you go and you say a few prayers. It's meant for the re-spiritualization of human society, for giving this knowledge. This knowledge is required. They have so much knowledge. It's now called the information age. Now you can just turn on your computer and get on the internet and you can get all kinds of information about just about anything anybody ever dreamed of, from flat earth theory to the mating habits of Amazonian gorillas, and everything's there on the net. You can get anything you want at internet, whatever you want, all the information's there. So much information. But they've amassed so much information about so many things. But information of what is the purpose of life, they're blind to this, to the need for that. Apashyatam atma tattvam griheshu grihamedinam nidriya hriyate naktam vyavayena chavavaya. Apashyatam atma tattvam griheshu grihamedinam. Those who are blind to their self, to their own self-interest, they don't see what is the need for understanding the Absolute Truth. They're simply stuck up in their homes for sense gratification, with no higher purpose in life. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for waking people up. Jeev jago, jeev jago, Gaura Chandra bole, koto nidra jao maya pishachuraka. Lord Chaitanya says, wake up! How long are you going to sleep on the lap of the rich called maya? Utishta, jagrata, prapya virang nibhodata. The Upanishad say, get up, wake up, take advantage of the boon of human life. It's such a great opportunity, especially in this Kali Yuga. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you can get free from birth and death and attain love of God. But instead, people prefer to lie on the beach, wasting their time. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for giving vital information. Everyone should try, everyone who's understood even slightly about Krishna consciousness should try to spread that to others in whatever capacity they can. It's an emergency. Just like in an emergency, there may be a cyclone in Andhra Pradesh or something like this. So the government takes up activities, emergency measures. A lot, 5 crores for emergency relief, and the ministers take 4.5 crores. But anyway, something gets through. Do something. Try and save the people. Do something to help them. Emergency. So the same thing. It's an emergency. All over the world, people are dying every day without knowledge of Krishna, spoiling their human lives. Therefore, we should do something. Whatever we can, within our capacity. Jare deko tare kaha Krishna upadesh amaragya guru hoya taro idesh Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions. In this way, become a guru and deliver the land. So you may think, well, I'm not qualified to preach, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, do it. You have to do it, because someone has to do it. You may think, well, I'm not qualified. And we're not qualified. We're products of Kali Yuga. But someone has to do this. Someone has to go and tell others. If you don't tell them, then their whole life is spoiled. We may smile at people and they may say, oh, he's very nice, and you may say, he's very nice. But just simply being nice, what is the use? If you die and become a nice dog or cat, and what is the value of this niceness without Krishna consciousness? So better, in whatever way we can, try to waken people to Krishna consciousness. Whatever you can do, maybe within your own family circle, or within your own social circle, whatever way you can, try to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Little things you can do, just like when you pick up the phone, at least in your home, maybe you don't want to do in your business, you might think it may adversely affect your business, but it might improve your business also. But anyway, you can say Hare Krishna. That was traditionally in India, people didn't say hi, hello. Now they learn this from the TV, American TV. What would they say? They would say Jai Shri Ram in North India, and then in Gujarat, Jai Shri Krishna. So like this, they would say Ram Ram, something like they would say. They'd say the names of God. That was the standard. So you can do that. Even now many people, they do that in India. Jai Shri Ram, something like that. You can do, and say Hare Krishna. At least people will hear the name. And they may say, why are you saying that? And then you tell them. So you can begin your preaching. I'll tell you one story. It's a very interesting story. There was one devotee. He'd lived in the temple for some time in California. Then he decided he wanted to get married. So he left and he went to his hometown. And he rented a house, or bought a house or something. He was living at home. But he was doing his bhajan and his puja and arati and everything at home. But he was very careful. When he came outside his house, he would never dress as a devotee, he never put tilak. But inside his home, he used to put tilak and everything, and then he would come out. And then one morning, he was doing his arati in his home, early morning, and he saw some neighbors looking in, and he thought, oh no, no, no. I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, because he thought, you know, it's people, they might think it's something unusual or odd. So next time he met them on the street, he said, hey, what was that you were doing the other day? And he said, well, you know, it's some custom or truth. He said, what was that you were saying? Wasn't it Hare Krishna? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm very interested in that. Can you tell me something more about that? So he took them in, and they also started chanting Hare Krishna. An American from California. So you don't know who's interested. And even if people are not interested, interested or not interested, if they hear the names of Krishna, they'll be benefited. We don't know who's going to become interested. It's sometimes usually the most unlikely people take to Krishna consciousness. It's usually the people we least expect, they take up Krishna consciousness. Even it's often people who are against it, that if they're preached to, they can take it up also. We don't know what is the purifying effect of the holy names of prasadam. This is a very good secret weapon, prasad. You see, just like we were at that program. And here's a nice sweet. Oh, yeah, it's very nice. And they're eating more and more. And they didn't know, nice sweet. Ah, that's prasad. That's not just a nice sweet. That's going to purify you. Even if you don't want to be purified, even if you don't want to be Krishna conscious. But actually, I think mostly here in Spain, a lot of people, they're quite, at least from what I've seen in Latino countries, people are, they're quite open to these things. They're generally not against it. Of course, propaganda is there from certain interested groups, but people in general, they're They're fairly open to these things. Anyway, open, not open. We have to become open. We have to. Yena tena prakarena. Somehow or other we have to do something to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Shri Ram. Jai Shri Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question, please?
Is it offensive to teach a person who is not interested?
Well, to possibly teach someone who is resisting means that they'll become more and more inimical. That's why it said it is offense against the holy name to instruct someone about the glories of the holy name. It's not an offense to ask, and you can ask anybody to chant Hare Krishna. You can say Hare Krishna to anybody. But to go on telling that, to go on preaching to them, if they're offensive and they become angry and inimical, then that also becomes an offense on our part because they make more offenses. So for people who are inimical, we may say Hare Krishna, give them some prasad. That's all. Give them Prabhupada's books. Best preaching. Just giving Prabhupada's books.
En español, la palabra adiós es una abreviación de hasta la vista, si Dios quiere.
It means God, sorry, Dios, something to do with God?
Yeah, this was to say, we'll meet if God wishes.
Aha, very good, very nice. In Islam, they say, Inshallah. Anything in future, everything's in the hands of God. That I was saying on the radio program this afternoon, that all over the world, actually the culture was God conscious. Maybe not as developed as in India, but in these Western countries also, just like the best buildings are the churches. All the art, architecture, everything was all for the glorification of God. People were God-fearing previously. Excessive sense gratification was frowned upon. There were no atheists. These gradually came out. Now in the last 100 years or so, this atheism, it's all connected, like this Darwin's theory and Freud, all these so-called intellectuals have spoiled the people. Therefore, Prabhupada stressed on distributing his books because it gives proper philosophical understanding. Sometimes devotees find it difficult to understand why book distribution is the most important preaching. But in the long term, it's the most important because why is this whole modern society so much degraded? Because their understanding of life and what we should do with our lives has been derived from false philosophers, just like Darwin, Freud, Marx, and so many. So to give the proper philosophical understanding, that will ultimately have the deepest and strongest effect. Although there are many other things to do too, like distributing prasad, having radio programs, building temples, Harinam Sankirtan, so many things. Many things to do.
Within this modern society, it's going to get worse.
It's getting worse all the time. It's getting worse all the time.
It's going to get worse more.
That's right. It's getting worse just while you're saying it. Just like I remember as a kid, the people of my parents' generation were saying, "Oh, how much bad society is now. We could never imagine it would be this bad." But then, between then and now, how much worse it's become. It's continually getting worse. See, previously no one could imagine that they would have so much divorce. Homosexuality is not only legalized, but if you say, it's just like in India, if you say anything in support of sati, that's illegal, right? So in America, if you say anything against homosexuality, that's illegal. You're not even allowed to have the opinion that it's wrong. So much degraded. And now they're saying it's a big problem, child abuse. Quite likely in a few years, they'll say, well, it's good for the children, and they'll make it, they'll say it's, they'll legalize it. You don't know what's the extent of their degradation. When I was a kid, they used to say, well, they were proud, England's much better than America, because in America they have all these shooting crimes. In England we don't have that. Even the criminals are a little civilized, the police don't have to carry guns. But that's all changed now. In America, one of the major problems is teenage crime, gangs pushing drugs, and they have submachine guns and they use them. Major problem. It's not just one or two. Sign of someone who needs to be put in a mental home in America is if he walks the streets in the major cities after sundown. Only a criminal or a crazy person does that. No sane person walks in the downtown areas after sunset. It's just not safe. There are so many places in the pics that we talk like New York, a great city, but there are so many places the police, they'll never go. They don't dare, the police don't dare to go. It's not safe for them. So this is the advancement of modern civilization.
They say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted a 10-form golden verse, that it's come at this age, more or less. That way, society
will be. Yeah, yeah. When the flower of Lord Chaitanya's movement fully blossoms, then society will improve. Then we have to see. That depends also on us. It's not just an automatic thing. We have to do some work. We have to do some work.
I mean, there is more criminality at the moment. At the same time, there are more and more people getting conscious of Krishna.
Yeah. There are good signs and there are bad signs.
In just 20 years or 25 years back, before Prabhupada came to the West, there was no knowledge of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, definitely Prabhupada's movement is having a tremendous effect, more than we can even see. We don't know what is the effect. Every time we chant Hare Krishna, there has tremendous purifying effect. So everyone please chant Hare Krishna more and more and induce others to do so.
Hare Krishna.
Jai. Hay escuchado una vez que en el momento en el cual la evolución crece más es porque el cristianismo no tiene respuesta contra la ciencia. Entonces cuando no supieron contestar si tienes el gusto porque no nacen todos iguales.
Oh, why don't you bring a few of my books?
En ese momento fue pues, cuando, digamos, la religión empieza a decaer delante de la gente. Cuando la gente dice, ¿por qué? Si Dios es justo, ¿por qué no hacer todos iguales? Cuando se ha contestado a toda la gente de la reclamación, empieza a decaerse. La pregunta es si hay algún otro punto también importante que él pueda conocer. Aparte de eso.
There was a time when religion was quite strong, but he started falling because he couldn't answer various questions.
Yeah.
For example, the scientists put forward a question that if God exists, why isn't he just to all of them?
Yeah.
So religion couldn't answer Christianity.
Right. Christian religion, Christianity lost its strength because they had no proper philosophical basis, and then so many pseudo philosophers came and just like that. Well, that's the big philosophical question. That either God is God is supposed to be all-powerful and all-kind. So then why does he allow so much suffering in the world? He should arrange for our sense gratification. If he's all-kind, why does he allow suffering? So it must be that either he's not all-powerful or he's not all-kind. And the Christians try to explain that. Of course, there are different kinds of Christians, but they try to explain that because Adam ate an apple, therefore we all have to suffer birth and death and hurricanes and cyclones and diseases. It's not a very convincing argument. So, and then all these Darwin's theory and this by which they proved that life comes from matter, although of course it's not proved at all. But they appeared to have better answers than what the Christian, because there's no proper philosophical basis. Therefore, again, so much important to distribute these books. For the first time in the Western world, concrete knowledge of God is being given. We can meet with scientists. We can meet with these so-called philosophers. We can discuss with them.
Se hablaba de la Edad Media y la importancia de la religión ante estar todo conectado, y después se hablaba de la expansión del materialismo, ¿no? Debido a la falta de respuesta, a la falta de filosofía de tipo, ¿no?
No,
que siendo así, que esa carencia de filosofía que estaba ahí, no hubo una respuesta más rápida a nivel, digamos, del mundo espiritual, no hubo una respuesta más rápida a esa necesidad. Sí. En la Edad Media vino Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, pero su conocimiento no se expandió tan rápidamente.
Maybe in the medieval age, when there was no answer for these questions, then why wasn't the messenger sent by the Lord or anyone like so as to really answer this question? I mean, even the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there and his movement is unfolding. Well, then you might say, then why? That's the same thing that people say. Well, why doesn't God just come in front of me and reveal Himself to me? We're in this material world because we have sinful desires, and we're born in certain conditions to fulfill those sinful desires. At the same time, Krishna sends His messengers to reform us. So, basically, people are born. People take human birth in this Kali Yuga because they have sinful desires. So Krishna also sends His messengers.
Well, you say why at that time that even the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came at this limited expansion.
Well, Prabhupada explained that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Prabhupada to go all over the world and teach this. Everyone gets a chance in course of time.
They say if you do pious activities, in your next birth, you get a chance to advance more and you are born in better conditions. But also there is a risk of falling because you have...
That's exactly correct. If you perform pious activities, you get a better chance in the next life. That's why we don't recommend... Don't engage in mundane pious activities. Engage in Krishna consciousness, which is the... sure path, because if you take to Krishna consciousness, Krishna personally takes care of you. Whereas if someone takes simply to mundane pious activities, just like King Nriga, he did so many pious activities, but because of a little mistake, he ended up taking birth as a lizard. So simply pious activities, just like in the modern age they have this idea, open hospitals and schools, which actually isn't pious. That's not punya. Opening hospitals so that people can get healthy to enjoy sense gratification, that's not punya. Or opening schools to teach people to become engineers and doctors without knowledge of Krishna, that's also not punya. So they say vidyadan, but vidyadan means to give knowledge of the Vedas, to give knowledge of Krishna, not to give knowledge of get be.